Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God gave Israel a land with well-defined boundaries. This land has a special place in God's heart, and He promised to give it to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His eyes are always upon that parcel of land. Not that the Lord is indifferent to the rest of the earth, but He has created and given that particular piece of real estate to the Jewish nation as a kind of theater in which the redemption of mankind could be accomplished. Please join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his discussion of chapters 15 through 19 of the book of Joshua.
What we're going to do this morning is something that I've never done before. We are going to cover four chapters in one service. What we're going to do today is simply look at chapters 15 through 19, and we're going to see the boundaries that God gave to the various tribes. I'm just going to mention them, not going to make any special comments about any of those particular things within those chapters. I would encourage you to do that on your own. But what I want to do today is I want to, after we take a look at the land that God gave to those 12 tribes, I want us to look this morning and answer the question for you, why is it important for us to study the boundaries of the land that God gave to Israel? Why is that important? Well, I hope that you will find it important why we should study that. We find in chapters 15 through 19 the boundaries of the other 9.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River. We find in chapter 15 the boundaries for the tribe of Judah. You can look at that. And then in chapter 16 and 17, the boundaries for the children of Joseph. That would be the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Actually, East Manasseh, we call it, is in chapter 17. But in chapter 16, the boundaries for Egypt, for Joseph and for Ephraim. And then in chapters 18 through 19, we find the boundaries of the remaining tribes, the boundaries for Benjamin in chapter 18, the boundaries of Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, Dan, and a special provision for Joshua in chapter 19, verses 49 through 51. So that sums up those four chapters. That was about the quickest that I've ever done four chapters in 38 years. Amazing. But you're not going to get off the hook that easily, because I believe that what I'm going to share with you this morning is vitally important, because it's in Scripture, and vitally important in light of the current events that are happening in our day and age. Why is it important for us to study the boundaries of the land that God gave unto Israel? Why are there so many, and I'm just going to cover a fraction, so many scriptures given to us about the land? Well, if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you seven reasons. I'm sure that there's many more. Seven reasons why studying the boundaries of the land of Israel are important. Number one, the first reason is because it is a part of the holy, inspired Scripture. That's a good reason, isn't it, to be studying it? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, all Scripture is breathed out by God's Spirit and is profitable, is helpful, is useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so God has given to us His Scripture. And when Paul, anointed by the Holy Spirit, writes this to Timothy, the Scriptures that he was talking about were the Old Testament. And so God Himself tells us that studying the Old Testament is profitable for you and me as New Testament believers. And I really believe that you and I cannot know the whole counsel of God, as Paul says to the elders in Acts chapter 20, if we don't study the whole Word of God together. So number one, the first reason is because it's a part of holy, inspired Scripture. Number two, why is it important? It's important because it is a land that has a special place in the heart of God. That piece of real estate has a special place in the heart of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, we read, "But the land, whither you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven." I love that, the rain of heaven. Yeah. "A land which the Lord thy God careth for." Which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are upon it always from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And so Israel is that special parcel of land. We know that it's the parcel of land where God actually determined to fulfill the plan of redemption for mankind. It's a land that he cares for. It's a land because his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, would be born of a virgin in that land. It's a land that is important to him because in that land for 33 years, Jesus Christ would live and he would reveal to us what God the Father is like if he would walk on earth. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's so encouraging when you see Jesus having dialogue with people, ministering to people, touching people, healing people, encouraging people, delivering people. Jesus says, "When I work, you see my Father work." Of course, it would be the land where Jesus Christ would die on the cross for our sin. It would be the land where Jesus would rise again from the dead and ascend up into heaven. And as we will see, it's a land where he is going to return the second time. God said his eyes are always upon the land. In Hebrew, the land of Israel is called Eretz Yisrael. In other words, it is the holy land. And it is appropriately called holy because God has deemed that place holy. Holy. And whatever God calls holy, we should call holy. Whatever is dear to our Father's heart should be dear to our heart. For a Jewish person, the land of Israel is much more than a place. It is a body for the soul of a people. And the Lord says here that his eye is upon the land of Israel. And he calls his people the apple of his eye. He watches over that land. Now, he observes the whole planet, we know that, but there's a special kindred, there's something special about that land, God tells us. A third reason why we should study the geographic boundaries of Israel is because when God divided the geography of all of the other nations, he actually did it around the land that he first gave to Israel. Last Sunday, we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, that when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And so when God created the heaven and the earth, when he created the earth, the idea here is that he created the land that goes to Israel, and then he put all of the other nations around it. That's kind of interesting. Not only that, but in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5, we read, "Thus saith the Lord God," so this is God speaking, "This is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her." Now, if you have ever looked at old, old maps, you will find that they're maps that have in the very center Jerusalem. That's interesting. God says that when he distributed the land that would go to every other nationality, he says he did it around the boundaries that he gave to the nation of Israel, and in particular, the city of Jerusalem. Because as we will see, Jerusalem would be the city of the great king. Jerusalem would be the recipient of his word. Jerusalem would be the dwelling place of his glory. Jerusalem is the object of his love. The Bible doesn't say pray for the peace of New York City, although we should. It doesn't say pray for the peace of Paris, although we should. It doesn't say, it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's a piece of property that is sacred to God. And anything that is sacred to God should be sacred to us. Number four, this is, I think, critically important in land of all of the tension that we see over in the Middle East, because the land of Israel was given to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In more than one place in the book of Genesis, God promised the land of Israel, then known as the land of Canaan, to Abraham and to his children. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, I'm going to read to you a number of verses. Abram passed through the land into the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, notice, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, unto thy seed. In Genesis 13, beginning in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, so keep in mind, this is the Lord speaking. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Who's speaking here? He has much more authority than the leader of the United Nations, right? I think so. You can disagree and be wrong. Here, the Bible says that Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and there he built an altar. You know where Hebron is? It's in the West Bank, the occupied territory. See, it's not a question of whether it's occupied. Who are the real occupiers supposed to be? That's what it is. He says, it's in this place where God said to Abraham, I am giving you this land, the West Bank. You see, the current conflict in the Middle East over that land and over the city of Jerusalem didn't just happen overnight. It's not a political battle at all. Here's what it boils down to. Whether or not you believe God is God and the Word of God is the Word of God. That should be the final, final answer to any conflict or any controversy that we have regarding the land. Well, in chapter 15, beginning in verse 17, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Did he do that? Of course he did. To give thee this land to inherit it. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Zebusites. Thank you for praying, whoever was praying. And so this covenant promise is reiterated to Abraham's son Isaac, his grandson Jacob, and to the Jewish people forever. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 8, which is the circumcision chapter, God is now speaking to Abraham. So he defines who this land goes to. And I will give it unto thee and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This everlasting covenant, land covenant, remains in effect until this very day, and Israel remains the eternal inheritance of the nation of Israel. Now, it is true that the Israelites never inhabited all the land that God promised them, but the boundaries that God gave to them never changed. They will inherit these boundaries. Let me just give you one geographic picture. The land that Israel is going to inherit is from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. Get out the map. That's a pretty big piece of land. A lot more than what they have today, right? So, you guys awake? Yeah, well, Stay tuned. Number five, why should we study this land? Because God declares that the land is His exclusively. Now, we know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but He declares, having told us that, that that land is special to me. He calls it His land. In Leviticus 25, verse 23, we read, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is whose? Mine. You are strangers and sojourners with me." The prophet Joel spoke of a time when Israel would be invaded. And it says in verses 6 and 7, "For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white." There are many areas in the scripture where we're given different land boundaries. The Torah spells out the boundaries of the land of Israel in Numbers chapter 34. And if you look at those land boundaries, to the east and to the north is modern-day Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. Those pieces of land presently occupied by other nations, God says, is a land that belongs to my people. Now, how many of you are interested in last day's prophecies? Yeah. And the rest of you, you can go now. Of course you are. We are living in the last days. We have been living in the last days since Jesus Christ came to this earth. God has in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. Right? So we are living in the last days. And it's interesting to me, why should we study the land of Israel? Why should we look and be interested in the city of Jerusalem? Because the land of Israel has significance to understanding last days prophecy. God prophesies that before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Jewish people are going to be miraculously regathered from all around the world to this piece of property that you and I have been studying. The prophet Isaiah tells us in chapter 66, verse 8, "Who hath heard such a thing, or who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Jewish civilization was already 1,000 years old when Titus and the Roman army conquered Judea and destroyed the Holy Temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. But the Jewish presence remained there. And we learn over the history of that land that Jews began to return to Israel in little pockets of immigration. But then something supernaturally happened on May 14th, 1948. Israel was established as a modern state and recognized by many, not all, guess the only ones that contested this, to be a member of the community of nations. If you are as young as me, you remember when that happened. You know what that was? That was a miracle. That was nothing shy of a biblical proportionate miracle. God has told us that there would be a day when a nation would be born at once. Just think of all of the efforts that had been made to exterminate that people and destroy that land. But God brought the nation of Israel. They were granted statehood in the eyes of the world, born just at once, like Isaiah said it would. Jeremiah 23, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he, right, a seed of David, a righteous branch, and a king shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Well, of course, we know that that's Jesus Christ. And here, the prophet Jeremiah talks about a time when Christ is going to come. He's going to be born. He's done that. But look at verses 7 and 8. Therefore, behold, when the Bible says behold, it doesn't mean glance. Behold. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries where I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Did you hear that? The oldest religious holiday celebrated today is the Jewish Passover. And regardless of whether the Jew is Reformed or Orthodox, they remember the Passover because it is the celebration of the miraculous deliverance of the Jews out of Egypt. But Jeremiah tells us there is a day coming. There's a day coming when Israel will no longer identify themselves with the exodus from Egypt, but with the return of all Jews from worldwide captivity back to their ancient homeland. You can wake up now. You see, it's a miracle. And here's the thing. We get so distracted by other current events and things that are important, but we miss looking at the theater. The pulse of end times prophecy is centered around the land of Israel and the Jewish people. Never forget that. Let's look at a few more scriptures where God promises that he's going to gather his people from all over the world. We're not talking about Babylonian captivity. We're not talking about captivity from Egypt, which was from just a singular direction. Isaiah 11, verses 10 through 12 says, "And in that day shall there be a root of Jesse," of course that is Jesus, "which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Just like some of you are taking right now. A glorious rest. But notice verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Puna. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is Thursday, March 16th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.